Christmas again.
Grace
to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight we're having a candlelight service, and it is very special and symbolic in that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And just like all of your candles can be lit from one candle, so the same it is in the truth, that God came to a very dark world, a world covered with sin, in order to bring us the light of God, the light of heaven, and the light of His salvation. As it says in the beginning chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it." And so Jesus Christ, when God sent Him down into the world, sent Him down to be our light, to shine as a single glowing candle in the world, but also a very brilliant and radiant light He is, since He is the very Son of God born for us, for our salvation. And this image of light is not just an image I choose. It's an image that God Himself chooses for you. He expresses it many times in His Word. Look at, for example, at Luke chapter 2. We just read a moment ago. It says, "In that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping over their watch over their flock by night. And then the glory angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said, 'Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" So even in the physical events of history, God made it apparent to us that Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. And meanwhile, while the shepherds were in the dark in the fields outside of Bethlehem, far away, in a very same amount of time, in the east, there were wise men. This is written in Matthew chapter 2. It says, "They came to Bethlehem." It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is He who has been born King of the Jews?' Why? For we've seen His star in the east, and we've come to worship Him." Where were the wise men? They were far away in the east, gazing at a dark night sky, and behold, a star from God appeared. And I believe that star was a supernatural star. Because when they came to Herod, Herod had to ask, when did it appear? Where did it come from? Because he hadn't seen it, nor any of his people, but it appeared to those to whom it was given to be seen. And that light guided them through the darkness to the one who is called the light of the world. Did you know that this was prophesied in ancient times? God speaks of it in this way, in Isaiah chapter 9, he said, 800 years before Christ came, he told us there would be light. It says, "But there will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he'll make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, where Christ would be ministering." And it says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." Do you dwell in a land of deep darkness? Well, whether or not you believe it, God says you do. This world is a dark world. You can see it in the news. You can see it in your own life. The anxieties and the depressions and the oppressions and the failures and the sicknesses and death all around. And this is, the Bible says, a result of sin. But what has God sent into our world? He sent us light, the light of hope. A number of years ago, for the congregation that knows me, this won't be a surprise, but maybe those of you who are visiting, I did some crazy things when I was younger. I sailed many parts of the world on traditional windjammers. One time I jumped out of an airplane, a perfectly good one, 2 miles up, jumped down to earth. Fortunately, I did have a parachute and someone attached to me. Another time, though, I went out into the north woods of Maine and New Hampshire on a dog sledding expedition. 2 weeks up there, freezing cold. Now, I loved the outdoors, but I wasn't much of a camper. I'd never really done it before, but I went out, this is a little after Christmas, and went up with Outward Bound. And there was two dog sledding teams went ahead of us. The first day I was on snow skis, that first day cross-country skis, and part of the day was fine. But as we went through the day, the snow began to fall, we began to get tired, the sweat on our brows was turning to ice with the temperatures. And as we went through the day and the snow fell more and more, the tracks from the dog sled team, you could see them in the snow, were getting covered up more and more. I wasn't too worried yet until I looked at the face of my guide who was leading me. He started to look worried, upset. He started to talk about what is his other guide thinking, bringing the dog sled so far ahead of us. And he was nervous, and that made me nervous. And as we got on toward night, just as the twilight began to fall over the forest, a fierce wind began to blow in our faces. And we were going on and on, no sign of the dog sledders. The tracks were almost invisible now. And I was getting nervous, a little anxious, thinking, how do I get myself into these misadventures? I mean, I could be home right now watching Bing Crosby with White Christmas, sitting by a fire. How did I get myself into this situation? And I was frightened. And it is almost as if death is lurking out there in the woods because we couldn't have any light. But then we came around the turn of a trail at the very last possible moment of light. In fact, it was about dark by then. And far away through the woods, we saw a glow on the trees above. And then we went a little further, and then, bing, you saw the light coming through the woods. And then up come some of the dog sledding team, and they welcomed us with open arms, said they had the camp all made for us. And let me tell you something, and this is why I'm sharing this, the change in my heart. I went from being frightened, anxious, worried, and all those kinds of things, to as soon as I saw that light and that fire, I had hope in me. And I just felt like this peace soothe over my mind, and this hope fill my heart, because I knew we were safe. We were safe for the night. And I went and I warmed my body, warmed my soul, and this is what God has come to do to us, do for us. Because we all live in a dark world. Let's face it. If you've been away from Christ, you know the cold and the chill of this world. You know what sin can do. And if you don't, believe at least what the Scripture says. Sin leads ultimately to death and being cast into the outer darkness of hell forever, if the light does not shine. But the good news, why we're here tonight, is to remember that the light of the world has come. And God, according to His promises in the Old Testament, has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world, to shine like that glow of the fire, that when we see Him, God bids us come. Come to Me and live, because Jesus came to give us eternal life through His life, His death, and His resurrection. Now, we got a candle here, a fire. You can just picture that, even just looking at it, how it changes you. It brings a peace about you. But should I do this? Should I touch that fire? Should I get in really close? And how about this? I'll challenge you right now. Who wants to come forward, be the hero tonight, and hold your hand in that flame? Anybody want to do that? Oh, you don't want to do it. Ah. In fact, Naomi and I, just a couple nights ago, had our first fire of the winter. We had the fire pit outside. And we got a little close one time putting the wood into the fire, didn't we? And what do? Yow! It was really hot. And this is something we need to remember tonight on this Christmas. We are coming to the light of the world, and He is a holy fire. You know, we sing all these songs about the cute baby Jesus, and perfect timing there, Leah. This is what Jesus sounded like on the first night when He was born. These cute little sounds and everything. But let's remember that it's not just the cute little baby in the manger, Jesus, a cradle. Oh, isn't He cute? No, this is the holy God come to be with us. And that's why it says in Psalm 50, in the Old Testament, says this. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before Him is a devouring fire. Round about Him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. You know, this child, Jesus, being the light of the world, is not just a cute, cuddly, warm glow. He is a living, devouring, holy fire. And so just like I wouldn't hold my hand in that flame, we need to respect this child with reverence and awe, falling down before him in worship and fear of him, because he is the holy God. And he is, the Bible says, the judge of the world. The Father judges no one, Jesus said, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. So one day, each and every one of you, no matter what darkness you've been in today, or whether you feel you're in the light, or whether you are in the light, one day you will stand before him, before this little baby, before this judge, before this man of God, Jesus Christ. And so we need to remember tonight on this Christmas and holy night that while he is our hope, he is also one to give us a godly fear of God. Because just like I wouldn't hold my hand into this, my goodness, I do that 1,000 times over rather than hold my hand into the fire of God and put my finger in there without doing it with respect and reverence and awe. So tonight, one of my words to you might sound strange, but on Christmas, fear him. Fear him. But you know what? Jesus said, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. Rather, I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he's killed, has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So Jesus encourages that fear, but then you know what he says immediately after that? As soon as you're trembling before God, he says, but fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Not one of them is forgotten before God. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Why, even every hair of your head is numbered. You know that Psalm 25 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, those who keep his covenant. And so tonight, while we rejoice in our hope, we also fear him. But if you are trembling at his holy word, know that God to you is all mercy, all peace, and all grace. He's kind. He's never once in the history of all of his eternity ever put down and attacked and been terrible to someone who is trembling in fear before him. Rather, to those like that who tremble before him, he reveals his mercy. He reveals his grace. He surrounds them with his comfort, saying, you don't need to be afraid, for it is I am here. I'm a God slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And that's what God did in the person of Jesus Christ, is that he came to terrify you? To destroy the world? No. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Remember the message of the angels? The glory of the Lord shone around them. What was their final word? Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. In other words, goodwill. That means tender kindness of God. This is why Jesus came. Put you in fear, yes, so that you're ready for him, but then to give you blessing upon blessing. Let me just recount those blessings to you right now. If you confess your sins and believe in Jesus Christ, do you know what he gives you? Eternal life as a gift. You don't earn it by your works. Eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. Then he pours into you his Holy Spirit and says, lo, I'm with you always to the close of the age. And while you continue to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you say with David, I do not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he's also promised you the blessing of heaven, a world that is full of light forever and ever. So you don't have to worry about death anymore, pain anymore, sorrow and crying anymore. For the former things have passed away, said he who sits upon the throne. Behold, I make all things new. And so tonight, when we are in the darkness of this world, let's remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and I want you to come to him. All it takes is to repent of your sins and trust in him that he died for you on the cross and was raised again by the glory of God, and that he is your Savior, your Lord, the light of the world, and that believing you may have life in his name. So come to Jesus, rejoice in him this Christmas, and live. Amen. Perfect timing once again. I love that. And now, at this time, we'd like to take our offering in response to God's word and his graciousness to us. And as we do so, I'd like to sing for you a hymn by Chris Rice called The Untitled Hymn.